More community, more Jesus, more fun.
Hi, this is Elaine Kohanowitz, and I am here today with a good friend of mine, Dana Emmons, and I am so thrilled to have her here. It's really a privilege because she lives in Belize now, so I don't get to see her hardly ever. So she's in the States, and she has so many amazing stories. I could probably do like 10 podcasts on her, and it would be awesome. You guys would love it, and maybe we will do some more in the future. But right now, today, I'm going to kind of direct the conversation into what she's doing these days, which is also very awesome. So I'm going to let Dana introduce herself. And my first question for you, Dana, is to tell us a little bit about your family, and including your kids that aren't at home. So let's hear about what's going on in your family today.
Okay. I'm Dana, as she said, and my husband is Mark. We have three children that are living with us in Belize. We have a 15-year-old, who will soon be 16, another 15-year-old daughter adopted from China, an 11-year-old son adopted from China. We have two children in the States. Both are living in Texas, and I just had my first grandbaby.
Oh, wow.
February the 3rd, and I don't get to see her yet, but I'm looking forward to a time that I get to hold her. So we have grown children out of the house. There's actually a total of eight children
because
Mark was married prior to our marriage, and I was a widow at the time that we were married. And so there's eight kids all together, and four grown and three in the house, five grown now, I guess.
You guys need to tell our listeners a little bit about how you met Mark.
Mark was brought to our property to help me. I was a widow at the time. And his brother, Rick, brought him onto the property. We asked for help at the church, and Rick volunteered and brought Mark. And then his brother, Rick, couldn't help, but Mark continued to help for the next 4 years, off and on, because I tried to fire him lots of times because he was getting emotionally tied, and my son started calling him Dad, and I started freaking out. And then one day he came to a job site that I was at. I had my own business at the time, and I did construction cleaning. And he brought eggs, and I asked a man, somebody there, a lady, I go, "Who's that good-looking guy in the driveway?" And she said she didn't know, and I took another look, and I said, "Oh, my gosh, it's Mark." and that's when my views and stuff, and I had to go, "Okay, God, what are you doing here?"
Oh, wow. So you never really interested at all.
No. And so I was really shocked when I took a look at him in a different way.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So was he always interested in you, though?
Probably at about 2 years into it, he was. The first time he came, he wouldn't even talk to me. I literally got in his face and stopped him and said, "Hello, my name's Dana." I thought, this guy's working on my property. He don't even say hi. So he was kind of quiet. Mm-hmm. I'm not.
Sometimes that's a good combination.
It is.
And then after how long after that did you guys get married?
And then once we realized that we liked each other, or he realized I liked him, I think it was a week later he told me he loved me, and it was a few months after that he asked me to marry him, and we were married that following September.
Oh, wow.
So much for dating.
Yeah. Sounds like you had some time working together anyway.
4 years is a good time of knowing somebody.
That's awesome. So tell us about what you're doing now. You're obviously in Belize, so why are you there? What do you do there?
Well, we went there as missionaries, and we still consider ourselves missionaries, but now we are a non-for-profit owner also. Our non-for-profit is also in Belize and in the U.S. We're an NGO in Belize, which is a non-governmental organization. Mm-hmm. And so we have our focus is on special needs children. We have a camp that, special needs children's camp, that is focused on all disabilities. Any child with any disability and their family can come to our camp. And we have events throughout the years. With COVID, it's kind of shut us down a little bit, but we still try to do events with the families and meet their needs, whatever they are. Bring in groups that help, bring in wheelchairs or groups that want to help build the camp.
So when you in Belize, you've got the camp, which is for special needs kids, and you've done some other work. What other kinds of things do you guys do?
I'm a doula, so I help at the hospital with new moms. We give special care packages to them. When they have their babies, they get a little gift from us that says, welcome to the world. For those that are training, I train. It's kind of like a Lamaze class, but not quite that much. There is no meds for moms at the hospital, so we teach them how to handle the labor, handle delivery, and I help at home. We help in our village when there's a need. If there's like flooding, we go in and just serve, you know, whether it's cleaning the floors with mud or bringing in food supplies, whatever is actually needed at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We've helped at schools, painting, teaching. Mark's done a lot of carpentry work, and he's taught the boys even how to run. How do you run a circular saw? So we've worked with a lot of the kids around the areas.
So can you give us a little context on, so like, for example, when you said you give the moms a gift or like a package to take home for the baby, can you give us a little context about like what it is like there to live there, because like versus in the United States?
It's changing rapidly, becoming from a third world to a second world. But there are still places where I'll go and visit a mama that is dirt floor, no water inside the house, no electricity. And then you can go into a home that's got everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still out in the villages. It's still more of a third world. And then you get towards the city, it's more modernized.
Mm-hmm.
So some of it looks scary. I mean, the hospital is trying to update, but when you have cracks in the walls and bugs going up in the room that you're delivering a baby in, that can be very scary for me anyway.
Yeah.
So you don't touch the walls. You're just very cautious. You know, for the moms, when I give a blanket, a baby outfit, it may be their only one that they have. I'll find out if a mom doesn't have anything, or they'll let me know. This mom comes, she doesn't have anything to even wrap her baby in after they have it born.
Oh, wow.
And so we make sure that the baby has something when it goes home. And then I visit the mama about 4 days afterwards. A lot of times, the baby can be sick then, or breastfeeding's not going well.
Mm-hmm.
So by me showing up about 4 days after, and I spend time there, and I sit in their house. I've sat on mattresses that are only springs.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
I've sat in chairs that nobody else has sat in. I just go in, I sit down, I make myself at home.
Yeah.
Because this is their home.
Right.
And this is how they live. And
well, I know, you know, like, after 4 days after having a baby myself, like when the midwife comes back, I'm like, thank God, because there's always something wrong, you
always
know?
Questions.
Yeah, there's always questions. There's always something that I need help with. So I'm sure, you know, no matter who you are, that's a blessing.
Yeah, and I get to hold the baby.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Hospital, they don't let you hold the baby. Only
oh,
the mom
okay.
I can hold the baby, not even the dad.
Oh, wow.
24 hours that they're in the hospital, nobody but the mom gets the baby.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, once they get home, then I get to hold the baby.
Oh, that's fun.
So it is.
That's awesome. Okay, so I want to know a little bit about your kids and, like, how was it for them, like, transitioning from being in the States to being in Belize?
I think their biggest issue is food.
Mm. Really?
Yes.
I think that wouldn't have been my first guess.
Fruits and vegetables. You think in a tropical island, you're getting all these fancy fruits and vegetables. You do get some, but they're always seasonal.
Mm-hmm.
And so berries are non-existent in Belize.
Oh,
there's
wow.
no strawberries, blueberries, blackberries, none berries.
Oh, wow.
Apples are like $1.50 for one. So
oh, wow.
you don't buy apples because they're coming from Mexico and the U.S. So there are no apples. So I'd say the fruits and berries, and not being able just to get in the car and drive to McDonald's.
Oh, you know,
right. Burger King. When we first got there, there actually were no fast food places anywhere.
Like in all of Belize or just like in
all
the area?
Of
oh, wow.
There are no commercial, you know, you've got Subway and it's all over the place. Belize does not allow that.
So oh, wow.
The only
so it's like a mom and pop shop. It can't be like a franchise.
They're street vendors. So you go up and you order three tacos that's breakfast. And Belize is tacos. They're wrapped corn flour.
Yeah, I remember you know. That actually. When I was in Panama, I would go get a chicken sandwich from the vendor. That was breakfast.
Breakfast and burritos, rice and beans. Rice and beans are staple food there, right? Rice and beans and stir-fry, they stir chicken.
Yep, that's what we ate in Panama too.
Yeah, and when we first went to Belize, we had no people who were donating much. So
oh, wow.
we had very little that you couldn't buy any American food because we couldn't afford it. So we had a lot of rice and beans and chickens.
So what was that like for you? Like when you first went to a grocery store there, you're like literally like you're the first day and you have no idea what to eat.
I had no idea what to buy. I'm walking around in a daze going, oh my gosh, nothing's labeled in English. It was all in Spanish at the time. They're just now getting canned goods in. The last year we started seeing actually canned goods from the U.S. But we've been there almost 7 years. That's seven years into it.
Oh, wow.
So everything was in Spanish. I didn't know what to buy. I didn't know what it was.
Now, I just want to say, I know when Dana she and Mark like chose a country to go to. One of the reasons they chose Belize was because they supposedly speak English.
We come to find out that that's not true. And I realized I was in a foreign land when I'm in the grocery store and half of them are speaking Spanish. I'm like, okay, I have no idea what I'm doing here.
Oh, wow. And do any of them speak English?
They do. English is not supposed to be a primary language. It really isn't. Spanish is their primary Creole, and I always mess that word up, is probably the second language that is used.
Which is like a Jamaican English type thing?
Yeah, it's real broken English. No is yes. And they also, even in the Belizeans, they don't use TH words, like third,
okay.
The. It's used as a D, da.
Oh,
and
wow.
Is. And then most people speak, if they speak English, it's a very broken English.
Mm.
There's no and of the, you know, none in the room.
Right. It's like a chicken hunt and peck kind of English.
Yeah. So you get to where you talk that way too, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I just talk the same way they do. The hammer is over here. Hammer that by the door. And I learned, you know, the Jed, you learn Spanish.
Oh, yeah. You have to.
Metro. Give me the metro. It's measuring tape, you know? Uh-huh. Where's the metro?
So you speak Spanglish is what you're saying.
I speak some Spanglish. You know, and I learned that you use a machete. I give my 15-year-old a machete, and he goes out and cuts the grass in the yard.
That's what we use
to cut our yard with, is a machete. So it's not uncommon to see even a 5 and 6 year old holding a machete that's almost as tall as them, swinging it in the yard to cut the grass.
Oh,
it's crazy.
Wow.
That was my first thing that I went, oh, you're doing what? And you're handing what to these children? And then the animals that were on the road, dogs and stuff are just bones. I mean, they really are very malnutritioned. Horses were tied everywhere by the street.
Really?
Roads, they're just tied there, hanging out.
Do people ride them?
They do.
Oh, wow. So they use them for transportation?
Mm-hmm. But then the rest of the time, they're just feeding them by the road. They just tie them up.
And obviously, there's cars, too. But
there were only a handful of cars when we started. There are many, many more now.
Mm-hmm.
And we found out that Belizeans, there was no stoplights.
Oh, wow.
We had our first stoplight now in San Ignacio, and they didn't know what to do. So they had to keep police officers there. Nobody knew what the lights were for.
That's so funny. But you know what? When I was in Panama, Panama City, at that time, it was 20 years ago. I'm sure it's different now. But in major intersections, even in the city, like, there was no stopping. Like, you just kind of nose out there and try to get past everybody else.
Pretty much. We have roundabouts now, and those were very interesting for a while. They still are.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Shoot, we had trouble figuring out what a roundabout was, and that started here.
So, mostly there's taxis in Belize.
Okay.
There's a lot of cars, and they're Toyota Camry. They have a green license plate on them.
Mm-hmm. And that shows it's a taxi.
Yeah, they go down the street. They look like they're creeping. They probably have 300,000 miles on them. They have the roll-up windows,
mm-hmm.
and they honk at you if you're on the road. That tells you that, hey, do you want to ride?
Oh, wow.
And, but for a couple of bucks, a couple of Belizean dollars, so a dollar U.S., you can get pretty far.
Oh, wow. So that's good. That's a good way to get around if you need to.
Yeah.
So what did you learn how to cook right away?
I stuck with things I knew. Chicken, rice.
Yeah.
I don't mess with the beans because they never come out the way I want them.
Oh, yeah.
So
you haven't changed much. You've kind of gotten a routine.
Yeah, we've got a routine now. Occasionally we get meat, hamburger and stuff, and it's a little different. They're a little more gristly.
Mm.
Taste is a little different, but now we're just used to all of it.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that we didn't know for a little bit was that at night the grocery stores turned off their electricity. That includes the deep freezes.
Oh, wow.
So we had to really watch the meat and stuff. Mm. And when they started getting dairy products in, you had to watch all of that. And then when the canned goods started coming from the U.S., it was things that were outdated.
You know? Wow.
So most of the food in the cans and stuff, you look at it and say, oh, it's only a week old, older than the date that says on it. It's okay.
It's as good as it gets.
That's it. And when we had a bad storm, I was going to take a bath, and I turned on the water, and it's brown glock coming out of the faucet.
Ooh.
And we went one time with a week without water or electricity in the house.
Oh, wow. And
so
how did you do water?
They have store-bought. You can buy purified water. So
okay.
We bought that. It was hot, and there's no fan, so it's really hot. You just stayed outside until very, very late at night, just so you go wait till the house cools down a little bit. Hot in Belize can be anywhere from 97 to about 105.
Oh, wow.
In the summertime. So it can get
plus humidity. Major, major humidity.
Yeah, I'm missing that, and I'm missing my warm weather right now.
Yeah. By the way, right now it's February, and it's like 2 degrees in Missouri.
And it's 94 in Belize.
Like of all the times that she got to come back to the States, we decided to have a cold snap and snow.
And the kids, when we moved to our house where we're at now, we didn't have indoor water either. So
okay.
We had a rain catch, and then I would get a bucket, and I would bring in the water, and we'd have a 5-gallon bucket, and half a bucket was yours to take a shower in, and the other half was the next child's.
So you just did like a sponge bath, basically.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And then we'd go down the river every once in a while and just kind of feel like you're getting in the water.
Oh, so you go to the river and go swimming?
Yeah, we do.
Do you have a river like near your house now?
It's about 15 minutes away. It's not far.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah, it is really fun to do. You just have to pick your areas because some of them got glass and stuff in the water, so we know where to go and where not to go.
Yeah. So is there any food that the kids like really like?
In Belize?
Yeah.
Alicia loves rice and beans and stewed chicken.
Oh, wow.
So she really, really enjoys that. And I don't make the beans, so we got to go out if we want to get the rice and beans and stewed chicken Belizean style. I learned a little bit more. I know that they do their rice with coconut milk.
Hmm. Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah, it really was. And then they cook with coconut, and then they put the beans in. They cook both of them completely separate. And the beans, they add a red sauce to it, and that's where it gets its flavor from. It's very flavorful.
Wow.
And the stewed chicken, I found out how to make stewed chicken for the first time when I volunteered to serve the volunteers after that ETA hit our country.
Which is the hurricane that came through
recently. So I learned how to do that and how they use a brown sugar.
Mm.
And they fry the chicken in brown sugar.
Oh, wow.
And
like as like a coating almost?
Yes.
Really?
It makes a good coating. And then they bake it in the oven and finish cooking it. So
wow.
It just puts a little crisp on it. And then they mix that. And I thought, it tastes delicious. I'm like, oh, that was simple.
Oh,
so
that's awesome.
I encourage you, try it out.
Wow, that's really
good
neat.
Recipe. Ezekiel likes hot wings. We found a place that does hot wings now.
That's awesome.
And Levi, within the last 3 years, they started making hamburgers in Belize.
Oh, okay.
So he likes a hamburger with bacon on it.
That's awesome.
Pork is hard to find and very expensive, so we don't eat a lot of pork.
Mm.
Hamburgers, another fairly, like I said, the main staple in Belize is chicken.
Yeah.
So
you can probably get a chicken about anywhere. Huh?
Yeah. When my family first began, we have a family of five. I could make 3 meals with 1 chicken.
Oh, wow.
When we first started out. So
that's some serious stretching there.
Yeah. You're right. You can make the last meal is soup. But you can make, burritos, and then you can make, we make barbecue sandwiches with the next pieces of it. And then the last piece we make and then just cook it all the way down in the soup. And so I get 3 meals. Now that the kids are teenagers, that's a whole different story.
Right,
I can get 2 meals out of it still.
I just went through the drive-thru with 4 of my kids out of the 6, and it was kind of insane. I was like, whoa, you guys are grown.
Yeah, that's what we're seeing too. So it's a little more stretching the dollar.
Yeah.
And how does that look? So we're learning steam cooking chicken. We're on solar. We're off grid. So
all
of ours is water catch, and we use solar power.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we use.
But that was kind of out of necessity, right? Because you bought some land, actually like a jungle. You basically bought a jungle. 50 acres of jungle in Belize to live on. And then eventually God called you to build the camp there.
Right.
So there was no electricity or water on the property, right?
No. Matter of fact, year before last, in December, we were able to put a well.
Oh, that's great.
Intergate came and paid for half of our well. We had to go 400 feet down.
Wow.
It was a very expensive well.
Oh, wow.
But we now have the capability, because during dry season, we would run out of water.
We had
to pay for water to come in from the river for our house.
Okay.
No matter how far we stretched it. And even now, you need to take a shower at our house. You take a shower, you get wet, you turn off the water, you wash, you turn back on the water, you rinse.
Oh, wow.
So we just take it for granted. Yeah, even when we didn't live where we were at, even in living in the villages and stuff, you kind of had to spare the water because you never knew when it was going to shut off.
Oh, so you had running water in the village. When you first moved there,
Yes. You
rented a little house. Is that right?
And so the kids had a neighborhood, so it wasn't too bad of an adjustment. There were kids in the neighbors.
Oh, that's kind of
neat. We had our bikes. It was like living on a normal street.
Okay.
We even had a park where we could go play basketball.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so it was a good way to transition.
And they made some friends there? Did they make some friends?
They did make a few friends. It's very hard to make friends in Belize that you're really close to. Belizeans are very family oriented and very closed off. I found out later that most of the people are that way. You don't get invited into anybody's house. You sit outside on the porch. And it's really hot, too hot to be in the house anyway.
Yeah.
They just keep everybody outside. So it's not I tried to start a Bible study in the neighborhood. It didn't go. I had a couple people show, but I found it very difficult. For the first year, it was pretty lonely.
So they're not, like, necessarily super friendly, even though they're all outside?
They are really friendly, and
okay.
They talk to you on the street.
It's
just different to be – you're not Belizean.
Yeah.
You don't know their language. You're never really an insider.
I see, yeah. You know?
And you always look at, like, you have a lot of money.
Oh, even if you don't, because you're American.
Yeah, because you're American.
Oh, I see.
So if somebody's begging at a grocery store, they'll let Belizeans walk in, and they'll catch you every time.
Right, yeah.
So we had to teach the kids that this is a lifestyle that they've learned over the years. That was an adjustment for them to see people just come up to you and want something.
Oh, right.
And it is okay to say no.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Now, speaking of like the way they see you, because you're white, but you have two children that are from China. So how does that work out?
All of your grocery stores are owned by Chinese people.
Oh, wow.
Which is, Belize actually has 7 languages in the country.
Okay.
And Mandarin is one of them. Chinese people are looked at as a lower class of people, even though they own all the stores.
Hmm.
They're treated very poorly by the Belizeans.
Oh, that's sad.
So Alicia took flak, my daughter, took some hits right off the bat Belize. Some people called her some names and stuff. The kids did real well in the neighborhood, though.
That's good.
Really treated them good. And you have to remember that also my kids have disabilities. So Alicia has only a little arm. So, and she's Chinese.
Oh, wow. So yeah. she has one full arm and hand.
Right.
And then half of the other arm.
Right. And so does Levi. And so now we're in a foreign country. They're Chinese. They have a disability.
Oh, wow.
And... you know, and Ezekiel is blonde, and all the girls are like, woo, la, la, la. So he's got lots of girlfriends.
Yeah.
But the other two are being shunned.
Even now?
We're in a very secluded area.
So you just don't see a lot of people anymore,
right.
So it's not as big a deal.
We see the kids at the camp who are all special needs children, and we see their families, so they're already like us, you know,
yeah.
They have different things going on in their household. So we're very much a part of their lives and looked at and they.
So that's kind of fascinating because, like, you come to Belize and you want to help people, and yet you get there and you're, like, really, like, an outsider. And
right.
Then so it's almost like the opposite. Then you have to deal with the rejection, in a way, while you're still trying to help people.
It was frustrating the first year because it was like everywhere I turned around, everybody just wanted a handout. They didn't, you know, give me. And I became very frustrated with it. It's like, no, I'm not here to hand you this. And I still get calls or emails saying, hey, I need a house. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, so do I. Mine's not finished.
Right, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it can be frustrating if you don't know their society, that this has just been normal. People come in all the time as teams, and then they throw their money around and hand out, and they give the donations. And that just...
Oh, like teams from the States.
Yeah, or from Canada.
Oh, okay.
But it gives a mentality. It sets up a mentality. So those of us that stay there all the time are seeing it the same way as the team. Oh, you're just coming in
right.
and out.
Yeah.
So we had to develop a relationship with them and that they know of. And plus our ministry does give, you know, so we have to balance though.
Right. Well, I think you do give things away because like you talked about giving, you know, the packets to women, and then you helped a lot with the families that were impacted by the hurricane.
Yes.
But you also like hire people. Isn't that correct?
Yes. And our donations allow us to hire people. You know, we hire the guys to do masonry work. During COVID, when the whole country shut down, because we have a farm also, we have sheep and chickens that the kids get to see.
The special needs kids at the camp?
And that provides eggs. Eventually, we hope it takes care of our camp, that it will provide all the food and the camp will provide for itself, so that when the kids come, that's not an expense we're putting out. We've already got it.
Oh, wow.
So we butcher our lambs and our chickens and cattle.
So you hire sometimes people to help with that?
We hire them to build.
Okay. And so you do all the farming yourselves?
We do the farming and stuff ourselves.
Do the kids help with that?
They have chores, yes.
What are their chores?
It's so easy. It doesn't seem like it much. Just water the animals, feed the animals, mm-hmm. you know, collect the eggs, make sure everybody's not sick, look at all of them. We will rake the camp. The camp is almost 5 acres. It's a little over 5 acres, and we left as many trees as possible. So we rake the paths and keep mm-hmm. them kind of clean. So they have to help with that. If they want game time, then they got to do their chores.
Okay, so I have to tell you this story. So, you know, I'm one day thinking, like, just how awful it is that, you know, I let my kids, you know, I'm probably letting them play too much video games or they're on media too much. And I thought to myself, I wonder if, you know, would be so much better if we were like out in the middle of nowhere, you know, and we just didn't have access to internet and they'd have to go outside and play and all this stuff. And right about that time, I had a Skype call with Dana and she was showing me around her house, and she went into the room where the kids were together, and they were all huddled around this little game player in the middle of the jungle, because she said like 2 hours a day they get internet and that's like the only thing they look forward to all day long. And I was like, okay, if she's having the same problem in the middle of Belize, in the middle of the jungle, in the middle of nowhere, then we're all in this together.
We have a camp with swings and slides and all that, and I still fight with the internet and time on the computer. You guys are the only people I know that have a park in your own backyard.
Right.
And, yep. You have the same issues.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So also another thing that you, I think, I don't know if this was a tough decision or not, but you decided to homeschool like coming out the gate when you guys first went to Belize, right?
Right. We did start a year in while we were in the States. I started ahead of time so that we could kind of keep the transition going. And when we got into Belize, books are almost impossible. We have to ship them in.
Oh, wow. So you can't get them anywhere in Belize.
No, you can't get homeschool books in Belize. And so we did try the school system one time, but it was so far behind the United States system that it wasn't worth doing. My oldest son was all over. He was bouncing off walls. He wasn't paying attention because it was too easy.
Mm.
So we did homeschool. My oldest son is autistic. He has Asperger's, so he's on the high scale. But that can be a battle in itself as they get into testosterone. If any of you guys have special needs children with autism, you realize how difficult it would be to homeschool.
Mm-hmm.
The battles are great.
And let me just say that Dana did homeschool him. You've homeschooled him on and off, right? And then he's tried school. He's tried the public school.
Yeah, that didn't work. So he came back home. That gave me a break. Because we were ready to just kill each other, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
I needed the break. So even though it was only 3 months, I was so happy for it.
I've been there. I understand. Yeah.
This year, last year, we had a struggle. Autistic kids, as their testosterone and all their hormones kick in, they can become more violent. And I needed him to do some homework, and he didn't want to. And his dad stepped in, and I stepped in, and then all chaos broke up. And I actually got shoved into an area where I had a mirror, and broke the mirror.
Oh, shoot.
And so we all backed off, and we started. And I said, you will not be homeschooled this year. So he actually is not homeschooled. He's at a private school for high school, and I have learned that you can do your homework or not do your homework. You pass or you fail. It's not my problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of have to do that with autistic kids. And sometimes you just have to back out and say, you're responsible for your actions.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't...
Well, he's also older, right?
Well, he'll be 16 this April.
Okay. But getting to the age where he's going to have to just make some of his own decisions.
Right. So 16 years of age, you've already got a whole head full of kid.
Yeah.
And he stands, a head taller than me, which doesn't help. He's looking down at me going, you're going to tell me what?
Yeah, right.
So, but this has worked really well for us.
Oh, good. How did you find the school?
Through my church. And there was a lady there that taught.
Like your local church?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. And my daughter, Alicia, actually goes there too.
Oh, okay.
And
they're like almost the same age, right?
They're only 5 months apart.
Okay.
So very much almost the same age. She needed interaction with other people. She's been living with her two brothers in a house up on the hill in the jungle for years. Yeah. She needed girl interaction really badly. So this was a great move for her. She's got a girlfriend there, and she's a drawer. She's an incredible drawer.
Oh, wow.
And she's really enjoying her time there.
How far is the school? Do you have to drive?
An hour.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Do you have to drive an hour both ways?
An hour both ways.
Every day?
Every day.
Oh, wow.
And when they... weren't going to have it because of COVID, I was in tears. I had my first anxiety attack. I've never had an anxiety attack.
Oh,
but just
wow.
The thought of having to go back home with Ezekiel, I just couldn't do it this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so happy when she moved in her house. And they've been able to go, and it is worth the drive.
Oh, so they moved it from the school to the house, and that was how they were able to continue to be open.
Yes.
And how many kids are at the school?
10.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's just a high school.
Wow, that's so neat.
I think
neat.
She's got a couple more. I think they're up to 13, I think.
So it's almost, in a way, almost like
it's a homeschool
high school.
They even do a Becca.
Oh,
they're
wow.
They're in the same books. They're doing the same program.
So if you all don't know what a Becca is, it's a Christian-based homeschool program. It's actually a really high-level program. Any kid that goes through a Becca is going to be very well educated.
And we found out that they have Quizit online for taking tests for Becca. So if you homeschool, Quizit.com is free, and they can go in and take their chapter tests for you, and you can really see how they're doing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a cool. Ezekiel found it because it's a little bit of a cheat because he goes in and takes the test before he takes the test.
Yeah. Well, but for a
helps.
Kid that needs extra help, that might actually be
good. It does help.
Good. Yeah.
Because they have flashcards in that program, but it's all lined up with a Becca.
Oh, wow.
And
that's really
neat. I did
neat.
Not know about that. And we're now using it for my youngest. I still homeschool my youngest.
And
this
how old
is
Levi?
School.
He's your youngest.
Levi is 11.
Okay.
He is actually in 7th grade, and he started pre-algebra this year.
So what would he normally be in at 11? I'm trying to think.
He would be in 6th
grade.
Yeah.
Yeah, 6th grade.
Yeah. But he definitely wouldn't be in algebra.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's extremely smart. In his spelling and stuff, he's in 8th and 9th grade.
Oh, wow.
So he does well in homeschooling.
He's pretty studious, isn't he?
He is. He's got a different personality. Him and his brother are a love-hate relationship. I'm sure some of you with kids know that expression.
Right. Yeah.
So
what do your kids think about the camp?
Oh, they really love the camp. They've all decided when we have overnight camps, they've all figured out their jobs that they're going to do and who's going to teach what. And they love to have, when the kids come, they are in heaven. They just...
Wow, that's really neat.
Ezekiel just jumps in and he grabs somebody and he teaches them. Alicia takes the girls over to go feed the sheep. Levi talks with everybody. He's my social bug. He talks to the parents and... it just is a really good
Levi
fit
or Ezekiel?
Levi.
Levi, okay.
Ezekiel takes the kids and goes plays.
Oh,
fine. He does really, really well with them. And just takes them around the camp and just hangs out with them.
That's really awesome. So they really embraced helping the special needs kids that come to the camp.
They do. And they can't wait for the camp to be overnight.
Oh, wow.
Very excited about it. And hopefully this next year we will be actually capable of having an overnight camp.
So give us a little history on like what you've done so far, because you haven't been able to have an overnight camp, right?
No. But we've been able to have events. So every 3 months, once we made the playground, which was the most important, or most of the playground, which is accessible for kids. We have wheelchair swings. We have a capable of pulling your wheelchair up on a merry-go-round and spinning.
Oh, that's so fun.
Because that's part of their body, so they shouldn't have to leave what they have access to.
They shouldn't have to leave their wheelchair.
No, to have fun.
To swing or whatever.
So we've made it where they don't have to. Mm-hmm. They just go. So once that site opened up, we started having events about every 3 months. And we would bring in something from the public. We brought in the Raptor Center one time, and they did. They brought in some of the birds. We brought in the crocodiles. So these kids are getting exposed to things that are around the leaves that normally they wouldn't have the exposure to because they stay in their house.
Do kids with special needs in Belize go to school?
Some do. 99% don't. There's a very small percentage that the schools are supposed to allow the kids now. So laws are changing so that they can, but the schools aren't made so that they can. They've been made years ago. So they're really, a wheelchair child is not going to be able to access a school.
Oh, wow.
They haven't got that way. They're not, if you're in a wheelchair, you can't access the stores, let alone anything else. Everything is very closed and aisles are very short. And so the country's just becoming aware of their disability society and the kids. Mm-hmm. Until this time, most of the children have just stayed in the house, stayed at home.
So how did you even reach those families to tell them about the camp?
It's been difficult. We have a good relationship at the hospital, so I was able to talk to them that way. The schools that do have some special needs kids, we talked to the school. We got in touch with their special needs education department to get to the school of kids. And then it's a matter of our employees. Because they live in different villages, we would let them know. We would talk to the officers. Officers are all over in the villages.
Like police officers.
Police officers. So we give them our information. Please give it to somebody you know. When you go down the road, you can run into a police stop, which means you're going to run into two guys with a machine gun hanging off their shoulder, checking your license.
Right.
And those are the people I talk to. Do you know anybody with special needs? Do you know the kids? I've got some information.
You would give them like a flyer saying, we're having an event on this day at this time or something like that?
Yes.
And so you were saying at one point when we talked before, like that you pick people up. How would you know to pick people up?
They would contact us. Believe it or not, 90% of Belize has a phone.
Okay, all right. So that's not a big deal.
They may only have a dirt floor, nothing in their kitchen, but they have a phone.
Yeah.
Honestly,
I kind of can't blame them, though, because you could do so much with the phone.
Oh, yeah. And I'm surprised that even in the villages, you can get reception.
Wow. That's crazy.
I can't get internet on my hill, but I can get a reception. So they would contact us and say, and then we would meet. We would just travel down into the villages and pick them up and bring them to the camp and send out the next vehicle.
Because you don't have a bus.
No.
Okay.
We hope someday that we'll be able to buy a vehicle that, like a bus that has the wheelchair accessible for the kids and stuff. It's in our future as soon as we hope to get it sometime. Mm-hmm. But until then, I have a Suburban that was given to us that has 4 seats, and we just pile them all in and put the wheelchairs in the back and drag them all back out.
And then you make another trip out and get more people?
Make another trip.
Oh, wow. So you just fill up the camp for the day and then you do it again at the end of the day.
That's correct.
Oh, wow. That's pretty awesome. That's commitment.
We try to have set bus stops where the kids will meet us at one meeting point, mm-hmm. and then we'll count how many's at that stop, and we'll try to make sure that we have enough room. And believe it or not, you can get a lot of people in a Suburban. More people than you ever imagined.
Wow. I'm sure there's like not a lot of rules about it either.
No rules whatsoever. And I think even in our 4Runner, I think at one time we had like 16 people. They just kept piling in.
Wow.
They're not
me of those pictures you see in Asia of like the mattresses like piled up on the back of a motorcycle or something.
Well, we've been, our first year I've seen 5 people on a motorcycle.
Oh,
going down the road in front of us. I said, did you count that number? And that's not uncommon.
That sounds like a meme. But it's not a meme there.
It's not uncommon. There's really no, until COVID, there was no space. I mean, when you got in line at the grocery store, the person next to you is on top of you.
Oh, wow.
And so getting everybody in a car, that's no big deal.
Right, yeah.
And they still drive with, you know, if you've got a truck, you've got a lot of people who can sit in the back of the bed.
So, right, yeah, yeah. A truck would probably be awesome there.
Yeah, they just pile all in.
That's awesome. So you were saying that some of the kids, would this be their first time or their maybe very few times they'd ever really done anything fun like this, like to go to the camp?
Some of them have never been out of their yard.
Wow.
So the only thing they've known is what they see in front of them. And we had about 20 kids that had never been out of their house come to the camp.
Wow.
For the first time. And their eyes were just like big, and you could hear giggles and different noises, because we had a lot of kids that were didn't talk.
Okay.
You know, nonverbal. Mm-hmm. And so we're learning sign language as fast as we can. So we can welcome them to camp. Mm-hmm. And we know some missionaries. That's the one thing good about putting fillers out, and I'm talkative. I know a missionary who, that's his focus, is sign language.
So
we call in volunteers.
Oh, that's great.
We have a lot of volunteers. When we set up an event day, I need volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're doing local, we get a hold of local. We have a lot from our church. We have a lot from the community around us. I make sure that somebody can speak Spanish, that we have a sign language person, that you know, we have people that are there that can communicate with one another.
Yeah.
So it is a community camp. We have some churches that will come in and they'll do youth day.
Mm-hmm.
And they clean up the camp, and then we all have hot dogs and stuff for them when they get done.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we try to make it a very much community so that everybody's involved. And they need to know to embrace the kids, because they haven't been embraced in Belize. So by inviting the community in, and they see the kids and realize that these are just kids.
Yeah,
they do
yeah.
things a little different than you, but they're still just children.
Yeah, because I'm sure, like, just like any of us, even in the States, you know, sometimes it's intimidating when you think someone has a special need, because you just don't really know how to relate to them or you know, act around them, I guess. So that's helped a lot.
Yeah, it's helping, because to see that they're kids, they laugh and giggle at the same thing that the other kids laugh and giggle at,
mm-hmm.
and being able to just run around with them. I think it's really important. And then their parents are learning that they have value, that they're not seen as, oh my gosh, you know, stay away from me type attitude.
Yeah.
That they're being embraced.
That's
and
really
being
awesome.
Loved. And yeah, it's really important.
So who knew, because you didn't know when you went to Belize that you would be doing this camp?
No, not at all.
But here you are with your own family, which has some special needs as well, you know, embracing these other families with special needs and, you know, helping them learn how to love and know that they're accepted and loved.
Yeah, so it's an awesome adventure.
That's cool. Well, thank you so much for visiting with me today. I am absolutely sure that we will get to talk again, because I'm sure we can go over Skype or whatever we need to.
Yes.
And there's so many other great things that we could talk about. But I just hope you guys enjoyed Dana today, and tell us what your website is.
The website is campsekonsa.com, but let me spell it for you.
Yeah.
Sekonsa means that's right. That's right. You can do it. That's right. God made you just like you are. That's right. You're loved. So Sekonsa
awesome.
Is that. So it's camp, sekonsa.com.
Yeah, so you can go there to learn more about what they're doing. There's a lot of really great pictures as well. And if you want to donate, then you can donate right from the website.
Correct.
Okay. So I'm trying to think if there's anything else we can share.
You can find me on Facebook, too.
Okay. All right.
It's Dana and then Coffelt, C-O-F-F-E-L-T. It's my maiden name. And then Emmons, E-M-M-O-N-S. ONS. So we have a lot of, I try to post there probably more for anything on the camp than anywhere else. So that's a good place to catch us, find out what we're doing, and how you can get involved.
All right, that's awesome. So, and I'm sure if you have a question too, you could probably, she's actually really good about getting back on Messenger or Facebook or any of that.
Right.
So, yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad you joined me today. If you were encouraged by this episode or you heard something you think a friend would really love, please share it. And if you want to learn more or if you want to talk or converse or join the community, please visit us at Imagine Mom on Facebook and also on Instagram and the web. Thanks for listening.